So we had great vespers for the Feast of the Transfiguration last Wednesday. And my goodness, we had maybe like 50 people. That's pretty good for a Wednesday night. So I am encouraged to keep encouraging you to attend. And it was really great. All the cool people were there, and they heard the Bible readings and the hymns. Now, about the hymns, we should know that, you know, that's like the main delivery system in a parish is worship. The main delivery system of, you know, teaching and preaching, obviously, you're here, you're going to hear the sermon, right? And if you're at these other services like Vespers and Matins, you hear the hymns, and the hymns will contain the information that was about the feast, about our theology. Now, who wrote these hymns? The people, they didn't fall out of the sky. Neither did the Bible fall out of the sky. It was written by people. These hymnographers were great theologians of our church, and they usually also wrote homilies. They wrote sermons, or they delivered sermons, and they were recorded. And from these sermons, then, their theology that they expounded in the sermon, then they would also take, other people would either take some words from their sermons and craft them into poetry and create the hymns. So everything, and then obviously the sermons of these holy fathers were based on the Bible and the teaching of the holy ecumenical councils and the tradition of the church. So I mean, we have this link of, you know, the teaching of the tradition, the Bible, to the teachers of the church who wrote sermons and whatever, and some of those were actually poets themselves, like St. John of Damascus, or they took St. John of Damascus, oftentimes would borrow words from the homilies of St. Gregory the Theologian, who lived, you know, 400 years before him, you know, and so if you can read the original Greek, or, you know, if you're, because I've translated them, I had to study, you know, where did all these things come from? You see, oh my gosh, it's directly the theology, and he made it into a poem, okay? So coming up, this coming Friday is the Vespers for the next great feast, which is the Dormition, or the falling asleep of the Virgin Mary, which will be on Saturday. And being a weekend, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people, and a lot of people come because it's their name day, Panayotis, Marias, Panayotas, all that kind of stuff. But also come, you know, because, one, it's good for us. Two, it's to honor the Theotokos. But three, I mean, it's you really will be reminded of the things you learned at catechism or be taught them for the first time. And it's fun to be, I mean, in a spiritual sort of way, to be all together, you know, and to do these things together. Now, speaking of the Feast of the Dormition, okay, it's probably a word we only use in the church, Dormition. But I've said this before, it's related to the word dormant, something that's asleep, right? Or dormitory, a place where you sleep, okay? So Dormition just is a kind of fancy word that means falling asleep. We talk about the Theotokos as falling asleep. However, I mean, the real thing is she died. Regular people die. Okay, I mean, we can talk about, you know, highfalutin sort of things, that there's no death and God is over. Okay, whatever. Yeah, she died like, you know, everyone else dies. In her case, you know, she was buried, and she wanted to go to all the places that her son had gone. Now, her son, we know, Jesus, when he died, his soul went to Hades and broke the gates of Hades so that all the dead of all time could, you know, be freed from the bonds of Hades. And so we call that the harrowing of Hades, or the descent into Hades. He did that, and then on the third day, you know, bodily rose, and then 40 days later, with his body, went to heaven. So she wanted to see those places and things that her son did. So an angel was assigned to her and took her soul. This according to, now like I told you, where's the chain of information, we get this from the tradition, from the fathers, from the homilies, into the hymns. So if you hear the hymns, her soul was taken, and she went into the caverns of Hades, whatever that is, and she saw those places that her son had harrowed, you know, and she wanted to experience that. And she was taken wherever. And then 3 days after her death, her body was assumed into heaven. So we call that, that's why it's also called the Assumption. Now some people will say, well, you know, that's kind of a Catholic doctrine. No, actually, even in Greek, η μετάστασις, it's called, the feast day of the Theotokos is called her metastasis. Metastasis means a changing of a place, and that's what we, an assumption, or translation, if you want to say that, although we typically use the word translation to mean translating from one language to another, but translation can also mean moving from one place to another. So we call it the translation or the assumption of the Theotokos. So many Greek Orthodox churches in the Archdiocese, Assumption Church, okay? So it can't be wrong, right? So it is her dormition, it's the assumption, then her body was resurrected. So in the Theotokos, kind of like everything has taken place, almost like that second, you know, the raising of the dead at the second coming, that's kind of happened for her already. So, you know, now kind of extrapolating from that, there are stories, you know, of people who have had visions of heaven, you know, before they've died, they were taken, you know, they had some kind of ecstasy and they saw heaven and they said, oh, you know, and the angel showing them will say, and here's where the hierarchs live, you know, and here's where the martyrs live, and here's where, you know, the mansions in heaven, you know, the various places, right? And he said, I want to see the Theotokos. And I said, oh, you can't, she's not here. What do you mean she's not here? Well, because she's all over the world running in the ways that she can, helping people, you know, she doesn't spend too much time, you know, actually in heaven. Anyway, it just shows you, you know, her love and concern for us. So with that in mind is why we do the Paraklesi services during this period before her feast. So we have Monday. We don't do them every day. Some places do them every day. Monday evening at 7, Wednesday evening at 7, and then Friday at 7, the Great Vespers, where we'll hear Bible readings that have to do with her, and we'll hear the hymns, and it'll be real cool. So why don't we stand and pray now?